Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
Well, here we are, and good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense on this Tuesday, September 27th, 6 weeks until Election Day. Coming up this morning, Mark Thompson from the Wisconsin Elections Commission joins us to talk about voter education in the age of the big lie. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly is by to tell us what a national organization for doctors who specialize in women's health saying about a proposed national abortion ban being promoted by Republicans. In sports, the Brewers had their final off day of the regular season on Monday. Their final nine games are at American Family Field. St. Louis starting tonight and then again tomorrow night. Then Miami for four games starting Thursday, and then Arizona for the final three games of the season after that. And then we'll see how that goes. Looks like some places got below freezing in parts of central Wisconsin overnight. I saw some 30s on the map. Not where Luke Mathers is in the urban heat island, you know, of in the center of Dane County. So no, you're not scraping frost off your windshield yet.
No, there was still condensation on the windshield, but it got down to like 44, I think, when I woke up this morning. And I was like, wow, I was not expecting that this week.
It is hard to believe it was exactly 2 weeks ago today was that last time. When I had to reluctantly turn on the air conditioning because it had gotten so hot that particular day, knew it was going to cool down the next day a lot, but I'm like, oh, no, I got to turn it on one more time. And so we did. And now we're getting the furnace ready. I actually fired that up over the weekend just to make sure it works because otherwise I've had terrible homeowner's luck of twice the heater is conked out in the middle of the night on like the coldest night of any given winter. So we were going to make sure from the get-go that thing was ready to roll.
Smart. Now I got to go check mine. But you got to love Wisconsin. You know, that two-week swing there is a lot of fun. And they call it fall.
Yeah, you're right. I hope everybody enjoyed it. There is those two seasons of the year where you don't need your air conditioner on anymore, but you don't need the heater yet, or you don't need your furnace anymore, but you don't need the air conditioner yet. And it's actually rather enjoyable to watch the electric bills just plunge, you know, and the natural gas bill as well, only to come back up. And yeah, 2 weeks, 2 weeks of not having to use either one of them. And now hopefully we get back to that after, you know, it is going to warm up later in the week. I mean, I don't think we're getting back to the 80s at all, but at least we'll get back to the 70s. And, you know, that's going to be a big help. I was relieved to see that Hurricane Ian only gave a glancing blow to my old friends on Grand Cayman. It made landfall as a Category 3 in western Cuba overnight, chugging its way toward Florida. And look, it's wherever it hits in Florida, it's not going to be good. There's going to be damage. People's lives are going to be uprooted. I get all that. So just keep that in mind when you say, uh-oh, Pat's making something political again. But I just want to note, and I won't be the first one, and I'm going to read directly from Jake Edwards, you know, Jake at Jake Madtown, you know, from his Twitter feed. As Ian approaches Florida, now's a good time to remind you that Ron DeSantis voted no on aid to the Northeast after Superstorm Sandy, when he served in Congress. Biden and Dems will quickly aid Florida to fix their damage. Why? He writes, because Dems aren't subhuman. And while that might go a little far, it is absolutely fair to point out the hypocrisy of members of Congress. Rand Paul is the leader among them, but there are others as well who have voted no to storm aid, who have voted no to flood aid, who have voted no to tornado aid, or who have voted no to wildfire aid, only to turn around and put out their hand when the time comes. Like, please, sir, I want some more. And it, again, not going to say no. You know, we're not going to have that kind of a government here now. But does anybody really doubt that, let's say Ron DeSantis runs and wins in 2024 And let's say it's fair. Let's not have a whole, insurrection and everything else. Let's just say he wins and there's a Republican Congress entering 2025. And the first natural disaster that hits, a blue state. Does anybody really doubt that there will be the longest lag time on approving federal aid as people are still in dire need, and that there won't be something extreme attached to it? I mean, I'm not saying that they'll attach, a national abortion ban to it, but I don't doubt for a minute what it will be is some kind of prohibition on states or cities being able to do something. Because again, the party of local control is only the party of local control, until they get more power at the state or federal level. So it will be something like preempting states from having a higher minimum wage, than the federal minimum wage, or, something like that on a bill that has to pass. And yeah, that's cynical, but don't point it at me and say, oh, you're being cynical. The cynicism comes from those who have had the gall to vote against aid for their fellow Americans in a time of need, only to then put out their hand and ask for help themselves. They need to be better Americans than that. And frankly, some of them need to be better Christians than that. We're going to be talking to attorney Mark Thompson, who has a radio program heard on some of these stations and is also a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, about a new series of educational videos for the public ahead of Election Day next. You're up north. Is it cliche? Sure, but you're never going to go wrong playing this tune when you bring in any esteemed attorney such as Mark Thompson is, also a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Also, I'm led to believe, has a radio show Monday nights on many of these fine stations that I told Luke, and he thinks I'm wrong. I thought it was a tribute old-time rock and roll radio show where we play Paul Revere and the Raiders on a loop. But he tells me it's more about, freedom and concepts like that. So I'll go right to the horse's mouth. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. That was pretty good. I haven't listened to that song in ages.
and the show again, what is it?
It is the Paul Revere Show. So okay. I was asked whether I would think about doing a show, and I said, sure. And then they said, come up with a name. I said, so what's appropriate, in 2022? And so Longfellow wrote that the poem we all know about Paul Revere's ride. And he wrote it right at the beginning of the Civil War. And he wrote it as a rallying cry for the North to rally against the Confederacy. And so he took this person who wasn't an icon at that point in time, right? Paul Revere.
Mm-hmm.
And who set out the message and started the discussion about what's the threat of the monarchy and what is the threat to democracy. And I thought in 2022, what better name than to use the Paul Revere Show? Because here we are in Wisconsin in 2022, and I have never seen such a threat to our way of life, our democracies that we face today. So that's the Paul Revere Show.
All right. So for being a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and as a fellow political beast, you and I both know there's an incredible range of topics that can be discussed. And also in your case, probably some that by necessity you need to steer clear of. What would you say is, what are some of the larger topics and themes that you like to hit on your program?
We have tried to focus on presenting voices of, a better future. How do we go forward in Wisconsin? So, I really focus on guests that have been active in the fight for democracy, for, voter rights, for expanding voting rights, for expanding the table. So I've had a lot of guests, from people that are running for office to candidates in office, to people that you know, play a role. You know, for example, coming up on Monday night, Daryl Morin of, you know, Latino forward is going to be there and talking about what's going on with Latinos in the state. So that's what the focus has been.
Okay. In turning to the Elections Commission, and you and I both have acknowledged that the voter education videos are so new that we haven't actually I haven't reviewed them myself. But again, they're basically voter 101 videos. And in fact, the website to see them is elections.wi.gov/101. And the press release from the commission says that the video series is in direct response to the increased public need for information about Wisconsin's election system. Mark, I'm going to put it in the kindest, softest way possible. Why do you think there is a need for voters to have more truthful information about their elections?
You know, the staff of the Wisconsin Elections Commission are nonpartisan. You know, the legislature created this election commission, and at its core is a group of nonpartisan professionals. Historically, they've always provided education to clerks, to the public, about the basics, the 101 of election law in Wisconsin. I think this new series is sort of a continuation of that, but it is put out there with that message of that there is an urgency for the public to really pay attention to the truth and not get distracted by so many lies. I mean, you know, there just been lie after lie after lie about elections. And the biggest one is this, that somehow in 2020, the election was different than prior years. You know, so I served as the chair of the commission in 2016 when we said that there was no fraud in Wisconsin elections, that we counted the votes accurately, and that President Trump won. Now, we've used those same rules, right? The same umpires ran the refs, just like a football game, right? The same rules for 2016, 2018, and 2020. And under those same rules, Donald Trump lost. But now we know he's the biggest loser ever in the world because the guy cannot actually admit that he lost. I mean, just that's the worst of sportsmanship, right? I mean, you know, we teach our kids when you lose, you go shake hands, you get on with it. This guy will not go away and instead has created this whole series of lies about somehow the election was rigged. And I think the public has to just, you get out there, you know, I served with Dean Knutson on the election commission. He was, you know, he's up from up north, up your way, a very conservative Republican. He actually was forced to resign off the election commission because he had the audacity and the integrity just to tell the truth. He said, look, I'm not a rhino. Don't call me a rhino. I have been a conservative Republican my whole life, but we have to have integrity, and Trump lost fair and square. And you know that, and so I think we're at that point in time where this nonpartisan staff of ours has to go out there and just say, here, folks, here are the rules. Get to know them. Rules have changed now because of court decisions, not because we've made any changes, and people have to really pay attention.
You know, the best way, I mean, these videos I'm sure are great. It's a great form of communication, but you kind of took me to a place, a theme that we come back to on this show frequently, and it's just conversations. If people just had more conversations with each other, for example, if you have questions about how elections work, go have a conversation with your local clerk or with your county clerk. They will be glad to show you. This nonpartisan staff at the Elections Commission is glad to share information. Megan Wolf, the Elections Commission administrator, has been more than happy to share information. But, you know, to get there, you have to have that conversation. You have to ask. You can't just be spoon-fed something from either right-wing media or from a, you know, a disgruntled politician, and take that as gospel. Why not talk to the actual experts that are involved? And Mark, I think part of the strength of the Wisconsin system, which I know some people would say, gosh, it's awfully, you know, decentralized and, you know, fragmented and whatnot. But when you have that many moving parts with trusting local officials, you know, to then send everything, you know, into their county and then eventually the state tallies things, it's awfully decentralized, but it certainly also takes away the talking point that you can somehow have a conspiracy to rig elections in Wisconsin, because you'd have to have a hell of a lot of people in that conspiracy.
Yeah, you know, it's I do believe we're the most decentralized system in the country. So we have 1,850 municipal clerks, 72 county clerks. And, you know, I'm a voter. I've been going down to my local voting place for years and years and years. I know these are my neighbors who, you know, sit there and watch us, walk us through, then tabulate the votes at the end of the night. They've been doing it my whole, you know, I've lived in my neighborhood, you know, 30 some years now. And it is that group of friends. And to say that somehow you can rig an election, it's, you're right, it's virtually impossible. How do you take thousands and thousands of people, many of your neighbors, and have them fix an election? You just can't, right?
Right.
And so and really the starting point is, I wish people would go and do just what you said. Go to your clerk, call the nonpartisan staff in Madison, ask the questions, and you'll get straight answers.
I got to tell you, the first time that I had heard of Kristen Bry, who now hosts the As Goes Wisconsin radio show, following this one on many stations, but when she started As Goes Wisconsin, it was to do these short, funny videos about things in the news and about politics. And the very first one I saw was she did a spin on how everybody should be a poll worker at some point. It's your neighborhood polling place. Volunteer, learn how elections work, be a poll worker. And of course, she turned it into the theme of, you know, work the poll, and somehow put alliterations to pole dancing in there. And I loved it. And I think we have to get that spread around again this fall. But again, the point being, there are all these local opportunities. You can either ask about elections, you can observe, or you can even volunteer. And there's no shortage, Mark, of material that would help people learn how to be a volunteer and be part of an already secure professional process, right?
Absolutely. You know, but here's the other thing. You can go out and get your neighbors registered to vote and then go hand in hand together and ask the questions. Because it is, after all, it is our system. It works as well as we participate. It works as well as we are responsible. It works as well as we ask those key questions. You know, in 2016, when the Elections Commission was created, I got very, very, very few emails just saying, you know, you guys don't know how to count. Right? You guys just rigged the election. And now virtually every week we have these like spoon fed emails of, you know, you didn't do this right. You didn't do this right. You know, and I mean, it is, I wish my neighbors would, you know, quit drinking the Kool-Aid and ask some hard questions. You know, it just really is. I mean, go call Dean Knutson, your Republican. Well, frankly, Senator Johnson, he's the one that said it up front early. The reason Trump lost, there were like 40 some thousand Republican votes he didn't get. Right. If you really added up the votes, you know, I mean, there were good Republicans that just stayed home and didn't vote for Trump. And people need to just admit it. And for those folks that are just continuing to whine about losing, I mean, it's just really a disgrace. You know,
it doesn't do you any good whatsoever. Again, if there were any anything there, if there was any there. And everybody gave, you know, the folks on the Trump side ample opportunity to bring up something. But everything that was brought up was, you know, flailing at straws about Dropbox mules in middle of the night counting that we're going to get into after the break. We're talking to Mark Thompson, member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and we're going to take a little bit more time on the Elections Commission itself, a little bit of FAQ to help you feel like an even more informed and empowered voter. That's after this break. You're up north.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 715-388-7155, or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Mark Thompson from the Wisconsin Elections Commission joins us. And Mark, we were talking about the basic Election 101 videos. And I want to move on to the history of the Elections Commission. It's somewhat controversial history, but I can't leave before I was about to close up the press release on this video project. And the Elections Commission makes sure to thank the Wisconsin Towns Association, the County Clerks Association, the Municipal Clerks Association, the Council for Social Studies, Wisconsin Newspaper Association, Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, Badger Boy State, Disability Rights Wisconsin. Mark, all of these groups wanted to help the Elections Commission put together an Election 101 video series. What does that tell you about the investment all of these groups are willing to make in an effort like this?
You know, we all know deep down that this is a collective effort. We have to, as a community, work together, hold each other up, respect each other, get out and vote, and then honor the voter's choice. You know, when you lose, you got to walk away. And, you know, we have to end this this new game people are playing, that somehow, you know, we don't have to listen to majorities. I mean, it's just not healthy.
It's great to have these groups make that kind of an investment of time into democracy. And again, the videos can be found at elections.wi.gov/101. Now, the Wisconsin Elections Commission itself is at least the third incarnation of a state election governing body. There had been a state elections board prior to 2007, and then I was in the legislature when we changed that to the Government Accountability Board. But now we have a Wisconsin Elections Commission. Can you walk us through what the change was, and in your view, how we ended up where we're at?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a very, very important question, Pat, and thank you so much. Because I think this is part of the history that every citizen should really look at to see what are the similarities between all those three entities and what are the changes and what do they mean. The going way back to the State Elections Board and the GAB and the current Wisconsin Election Commission, one thing those three have in similarity is their staff was always nonpartisan. Meaning that Wisconsin, for my whole lifetime, has essentially recognized that you have to have nonpartisans count the votes, right? You have to have umpires, right? When you go to a Packer game, the umpire is wearing black and white stripes, not the green and gold, right? You go to Green Bay, even Lambeau. I mean, sometimes I wish they were wearing green and gold, right? But they're the umpires. So you have to call it straight. Now, the GAB was very unique in that it was, the GAB was made up of retired judges that, you know, judges historically had been nonpartisan in Wisconsin. And the GAB was unique in this, that they investigated both the ethics and elections. And they functioned very, very well for a long, long time. Until they started investigating money. And I think this is sort of the biggest change in my lifetime. And the whole Citizens United decision, where the U.S. Supreme Court said money was, money somehow is a constitutional right. that if I got $1 billion, I can spend $1 billion on politics without restrictions. And so when the GAB, the judges, started questioning the use of money by certain legislatures, they were abolished. And the Governor Walker and Speaker Voss and company in 2016, and I mentioned Dean Knutson, who was in the assembly at the time, they decided to abolish the group of nonpartisan judges that were running the umpire, and they created the Wisconsin Election Commission. The commission is made up of 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and you need 4 votes to decide policy. So this is sort of a unique experiment in Wisconsin, and many, many people thought at the outset it would never work at all. And remarkably, it worked pretty well for the, 2016 and 2018. And it really wasn't until after, just before the 2020 elections, things started to get heated. But actually, even then, there was a lot of agreement, 6-0 votes. You got to remember, it was the Republicans that passed the vote on the election commission, that in the middle of the pandemic, we would send out letters to all registered voters with applications that they could apply for their ballot, right? Because everybody was afraid in the middle of the pandemic that nobody could get to vote, and we all wanted people to vote. And so we had this huge, huge outline. But now what has happened in the last couple of years, I mean, we have Bob Spindell, who's a member of the commission. He was a Trump elector.
One of the fake ones.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. The fake, that's what I meant, right?
Yeah.
Well, all Trump electors were fake, right?
Right, yeah. One of the fake Trump electors, right?
Because President Biden won. And so we have now this dynamic on the commission, where we're always dealing with this noise that's coming from Spindell and the far right on all these conspiracy notions, and really distracting from the day-to-day working of it. So we have been, at least personally, I've been trying to protect Megan Wolf and her staff, the nonpartisan staff, because they're really the engine that helps support all the municipalities. And yeah, a lot of people don't know, and there hasn't been much press, but we've had 6-0 votes, because in the last year, there were millions and millions and millions of dollars that came in from the federal government to allocate dollars to communities for security and upgrading election systems. And we shared that money equally around the state. We try to boost the local clerk's abilities to increase their security, dual factor, authentication, trying to make the infrastructure much, much safer. Nobody really talks about that, but those votes were virtually all 6-0. Mm-hmm. And so here we are now, 2022 coming up, and the election commission, despite a lot of some of the politics, I would give it a B for functioning. Mm-hmm. The elections that have been run have been fair, honest, virtually no fraud throughout.
And yet, despite that, you have people like Senator Ron Johnson who have openly advocated for the legislature to basically seize control of at least the federal elections in Wisconsin. And you have candidates for office that are promising to work to disband the Wisconsin Elections Commission, even though it was a Republican creation back in the day to get rid of the Government Accountability Board for sniffing around with money and possible illegal coordination between Scott Walker's recall campaign and others. Whatever the reason, this was created by Republicans, but now they want to essentially tear it down again. There's all this interest suddenly in the Secretary of State's position, a position that Republicans have greatly diminished over the decades, whenever they've been in control of the legislature. And yet now across the country is this push to put more power over elections into a single person, whether it's Secretary of State or something else. Mark, I forgive the sarcasm, but I'm tossing it to you this way. If that were to be the case in Wisconsin, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, you know, the reason I started, when I said what folks really need to pay attention to is what has worked for Wisconsin is that we have had nonpartisan umpires over elections. That means it wasn't the Democrats, it wasn't the Republicans, it wasn't the Green Party. It was nonpartisan election professionals that were to run the elections, right? We had to have an umpire that would call foul on political parties' games. And this talk now to abandon the WEC, I think the underlying question really is, what are they trying to do? And this talk about converting it to the Secretary of State, which is will be a elected spot, right? It will be a partisan race. And if that person, and that person, whether Republican, Democrat, is given the unilateral power to run the elections and allow it to become partisan, then the danger is you have a party that gets to control the shots and not a neutral umpire. And then we don't have democracy, okay? When a party gets to write their own rules and can change the rules midstream and play partisan advantage, look, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, right? You're right. I'm an openly avid Biden supporter, longtime Democrat, right? Former steel worker, you know, a believer. Like, here, I'll put it this way. Eisenhower, the Republican, right? Great general. He taxed the wealthy at 90% and we had a middle class, right?
Right.
He would not even be considered a Republican today. But if you read the history books, it was that kind of Republican that helped create a middle class in America. So at the bottom of it, and that, the reason I tie these things together, if we let a party and big money control it, we don't have democracy. We end up with a Putin situation. We end up, you know, we end up with someplace...
Like, like that sham referendum in Ukraine right now, in Russian-controlled Ukraine.
We don't want to go there, folks, right?
No.
And so the talk about the abolishing, I mean, you can run the elections and you can change the system, but it has to be run by nonpartisans and it has to be fair umpires. Because the day we abandon that, look, then we abandon everything. We teach our kids, you go to a baseball game, you know, that you're out, it's a strike, right? Mm-hmm. You don't get to say, no, it wasn't. The umpire's wrong. I'm going to first base on a walk. I mean, we do not teach our kids that. Mm-hmm. But we have certain politicians right now that want to say, if I say it's X, you have to do it.
All right. It's not fair, but I've only got about a minute left, so I'm going to ask it anyway. So what's the 1 minute version of saying we've just shown what the really bad side could be? What one thing, if you could, would make the Wisconsin Elections Commission even better, make the entire process better? If you could reform any other thing, what would you do?
You know, I would go back to a GAB kind of model. You know, I mean, I don't think having politics and partisan politics on the election commission is a good thing. You know, we've tried to make it work. We've tried to honor the nonpartisan staff, but it's designed to put politics in the mix.
Right.
And the election commission should just be saying, here are the rules for elections and who won and who lost. And the policy should be fought out in the assembly, in the Senate, and the governor's office, and not on the Elections Commission.
Couldn't agree more. And I think this was a good test run for us here, Mark. I think next time, as I promised, I'll put you and Dana Walks from Eau Claire on the same panel here. We might need 3 hours instead of, you know, 30 minutes, but I think we got it. I'm willing to give it a try.
That, you know, it'd be great, but I think we'll need 12.
I've watched you two together, and not only would I like to see that, I would pay for it. Mark Thompson, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. And again, your Monday show is 7 o'clock on Monday nights.
7 to 8 o'clock every Monday night, the Paul Revere Show. Thanks so much, Pat. I love your show up there. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day. And we will wrap up this hour right after this. You're up north.
Take care.
Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all.
I wanted to talk about this little Fleetwood Mac song for just a second. And I forgot to even look up what year this is. Fleetwood Mac's Everywhere. Let's see. There we go. Song by Fleetwood Mac. Isn't Google the best? 1987.
Yeah.
All right. Off the album Tango in the Night. And it's perfectly fine. Adult contemporary soft rock song. But nobody sings along to this out loud in a car. Nobody hits these notes. And yet, Chevrolet, and I give them all the credit in the world, they're running this commercial campaign now for their electric vehicles. And of course, that's a wonderful thing. Anything that gets us off fossil fuels, you know, is helpful. But they use this for their music bed, and they keep interspersing to various people having fun in their car. But they're singing to this. I mean,
we messed up.
Don't tell me, Luke. Don't you dare tell me you've sung along with this out loud, because I won't believe you.
No, but you want to know who may have? Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
She would sing along to A Dripping Faucet. I mean, come on. If she found rhythm in there, would dance and sing to that.
We messed up. We should have played it for her to see when we brought her on whether or not she would sing to it.
Well, I doubt that she's monitoring this hour, so I think we know how we're playing her back in at some point in the 9 o'clock hour. Don't doubt that for a minute.
We're just teasing that. We're teasing her appearance.
Right. There you go. That's how we're doing it. I just wanted to make that note. I have no other larger life lesson on that other than Chevy, great cars. Pick a different music bed. If you want the ultimate song that, you know, of people in their car singing out loud to, wouldn't it be Bohemian Rhapsody from Wayne's World, the movie? Is there a better example of everybody singing along in the car to a song?
I am a big fan of the montage that Tommy Boy does as well when Tommy and Richard are driving together and they do the variety of songs. What is it? It's REM's It's the End of the World. Mm-hmm. And that's a good one. That's a good car singing along. But yeah, I feel like Fleetwood Mac's a tough one to sing along in the car anyways, because those are some hard notes to hit any Fleetwood Mac song. Is it not just Everywhere?
Yeah. We're not all Christine McVie. We can't necessarily do those notes. I'm more of a, you know, like Kermit the Frog and you know, Fozzie Bear at the start of the Muppet movie. That's pretty much more my speed. I don't know which part I would necessarily sing, but
I was gonna say, do you do both when you're in the car? Like I'm getting some great insight to the Cherokee right now. Like I
probably would. Yeah. I mean, my steering wheel thinks I'm an excellent singer, and that's an audience of one right there. Coming back to a couple things that Mark Thompson mentioned, and I just wanted to finish out the hour on that. No, I can't. I have to come back to Luke now. Luke is training in a new producer. He's already mastered the visual end of this feed between Chippewa Falls and Madison, because whatever I said, I see just one eye, just the very corner of him leaning into the frame as if to say, I've just met you and I think you're full of it. I don't believe this story at all. So, Aaron, welcome. You've made an impression already. Wonderful work.
Well, certainly an impression, whether or not it's a good or bad one, remains to be seen.
Look at that. He speaks too. This is going to be fun, kids. This is going to be fun. Getting back to Mark Thompson. And again, we mentioned the Government Accountability Board, which was made up of retired judges. That was the very first vote that I cast as a state senator in 2007 as a freshman. Our very first bill was a reform bill. because we had seen how the old state elections board was unable to crack down on what was known as the caucus scandal of a few years earlier, which involved official staff in the Capitol, the official staff to senators and assembly representatives doing political work on state time. And again, you have to get over your cynicism. As much as you'd like to say, oh, everybody does that, they'll do it anyway. No, they actually didn't. A lot of people were very good about recognizing and respecting the split between your official time and your time as a candidate. There's a time to run for office and be a politician, and there's a time to serve as a public official. Yes, over the years, that has become, you know, increasingly muddy, increasingly gray. And now we see how some elected officials never serve as public servants. They are campaigning and doing partisan politics full time. But for you know, a good part of our history, we were better than that. And it was only after this, you know, commingling started to get out of hand that we as Democrats who took control of the legislature after the 2006 elections passed this reform bill and created this nationally regarded panel of retired judges. I mean, states all over the country looked at what we were doing and wanted to emulate it. But as Mark said, when they got a little too close to Governor Scott Walker, who was being recalled at the time, and the independent groups that are not supposed to coordinate with the candidates themselves, outside groups are supposed to stay outside. That's the reason they can spend and raise unlimited sums in some instances. You know, the rule from Citizens United is, hey, you can spend and raise truckloads of money as long as you don't coordinate with the candidate. The candidate's got to be on their own. And once that started getting mingled and the Government Accountability Board, the GAB, started looking into it, suddenly Republicans were making moves and got rid of this panel of retired judges and put in the Elections Commission staffed now by three Republicans and three Democrats. In other words, they built it to have gridlock. So the fact that there have been as many 6-0 votes as there have been over the years tells you that Republicans and Democrats alike who choose to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission took their role seriously. But increasingly, as Trump was squawking well ahead of the voting in 2020, you started seeing more of these partisan disputes and things that were deadlocked in 3-3 votes. And now you have it going a step further with people actually making proposals to get rid of the Wisconsin Elections Commission as well. They do things like raise the specter of in 2020, and we didn't have time to get into this with Mark, for example, but they say, oh, you know, all these ballots that were counted in the middle of the night, and how can election results come in at, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning? Well, it's by virtue of rules that Republicans wouldn't allow to be changed, that if absentee votes could start getting counted earlier as they came in, you'd get results earlier. But again, it's almost as if by manufacturing a crisis, they can take advantage of it. And that is exactly what has been happening with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So bear that in mind when you have this Secretary of State's race where Doug La Follette, the Democrat, is being challenged by Amy Loudenbeck. And while she is saying the right things, like she's not in it to do anything radical or anything different. Again, it's a matter of, yeah, but would she say no if a Republican legislature, you know, offered to give her almost unlimited power over elections? That's the big question that you need to ask before you go into the voting booth. Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us in our next hour. You're up north.